Hello, welcome. This is Monday, September 4th, 2023. It's 20:32 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, I'm with you here today. Remember that the Book of Jasher is based on, in part, at least, the Masoretic text, which was produced long after the person called Jasher, the son of Caleb, lived. So we have to question the chronology, which is based on the Masoretic text, and therefore we can't agree with the particular elements which are specifically based on the Masoretic text, such as saying that Shem was alive at the time of Abram, for example, which would be from the Masoretic text, but not true from the previously validated an earlier text of the Septuagint. Now, today's study, before we get started, we have a song from JW.org. It's called I Love to Clean. That's a very joyful song, is it not? I certainly think so. What did I want to show you here? Yes, something of interest here. Oh, it changes its position just because I left looking at the tab. Okay, I can possibly get back there quickly here to the year 30, the year of the crucifixion of our Lord. Right here. 3 years earlier, right here. 30 is the year of the crucifixion. Here we go. So if we go to the month of, in that year 30, the month of March, as we said ourselves, and as is derived from the website of Rita Gauci, the astronomer, in the year 30 CE, the 24th of March was the first visibility of the moon in that month. And that is the beginning of, we believe, Nisan. So therefore, Nisan 1 is seen, and that's seen in the evening time of that day, which is 1500 hours, 56 minutes, about 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, it's visible. That's universal time. So add 3 hours to get from Greenwich, England, to Israel, and you get that. You get 3 plus 15, which is 18 hours, 56 minutes, which is about 1900 hours, 7 o'clock in the evening. The moon became visible at Jerusalem on that day, and that's I just wanted to show you that so that we see where that comes from in our article, for example, later on in the article, Born and Raised. And right, I did read the book. Well, it was a book I hadn't mentioned yet, but it was a book about Antipas, who was the son of King Herod, one of the sons of King Herod. I read that book to see if I could derive any insight from it, and I had to more or less just discard it. There probably is some isolated fact in it that will help us, but on the whole, it's not worth looking at in detail right now. So it's, well, we're looking for things that appear, that feel and appear to be true. There's things that have the sense of being true that we can actually believe. And that book I didn't find to have those requirements, or didn't fulfill the requirement. It didn't fill the requirement of being believable as a true account. Now we're looking at, again, this has changed. Oh, I had to reboot because my microphone, that's what happened. My microphone wasn't working, so I rebooted. So we're at 6 and 5 of the article, Born and Raised. Based upon such inferences, based, that is, which inferences? That there was a 14-year cycle commencing 7 years after the first year of the Emperor Augustus, the Roman leader. Okay? So, I'm not sure whether that's a quote where I say based on such inferences. It may be because it's in bold lettering. They're given by Mr. Ramsey, okay, the years of the cycle. We now know that the years of the cycle, BCE 9 and 6 CE, which are consecutive, which are 14 years apart, since there's no year zero. We now know that each of those cycles was a dual element in which it appears to be the case now that we have a new understanding completely since I discovered the article on the Spirited Nature website, or the Spirit of Nature, whatever it was called. But it was by Caleb Jones, that article. And since we discovered that, we have a new insight here, and I think we can even add to his viewpoint based on other information from other commentators, which aligns with the information he gave, such as, for example, the book by Christopher Benson, published in 1819, which I've already discussed. And the idea is, now, see, any time between BCE 9 and 6 CE, those 14 years, the enrollment of the people has to take place before 6 CE. So this is one cycle. Now, during this cycle, there will be a payment of the taxes in the year 6 CE, after all the information has been gathered during those 14 years. It takes a long time to gather the information. Now, the other thing is this. It's so remarkable because that explains why there's a 7-year delay also. It explains why there's 14 years between the first cycle beginning in 2023, BCE, or BCE 23, and the 14 years before that. Well, there's not actually a 14-year delay. There's a 7-year delay from the year BCE 30, isn't there? But if you look at the year 27, and the year 30 was when, yeah, there's a 7-year delay from when Augustus began to rule Egypt to the first Egyptian census or enrollment for the census. The enrollment takes place, then the collection of the taxes, you see, 14 years later. So this 7-year delay in Egypt is saying that, you know, in BCE, It took 7 years to get organized after Augustus began to rule Egypt, which makes sense now that we see that the cycles are 14 years. 7 years to organize makes sense. But BCE 23 would be the enrollment, and then the Egyptians would have paid their taxes in BCE 9. So, whereas at the same time as that's happening, the Syrians, including Jerusalem, which was then part of Syria, and the other amazing thing is, in the year 6 CE was when Judea became part of the Roman Empire, so the Jews only joined the Roman Empire after they paid their first taxes. Makes perfect sense. Even though they were enrolled, starting in BCE 9, and in BCE 6 was when Joseph became enrolled by going to Bethlehem with his wife-to-be and his, who was pregnant at the time with the infant Jesus. All of these things line up perfectly. But the enrollment or of the names of the people who were to pay the taxes began in BCE 9, and in Joseph's case with Mary and his unborn child. Not his child biologically, but Mary's and his also as an adoptive father, his child, the unborn Jesus, went. And we've already determined that year to be 6 BCE. But it's perfectly compatible as long as that occurs. So maybe they started paying the taxes after 7 years, possibly. It's really remarkable. And then they completed paying the taxes in 6 CE. We don't quite know when how long the enrollment was or when the paying of the taxes ended. But this period of 14 years looks to be perfectly sensible now. The cycle years in Egypt, we already read that. Based upon such inferences, it appears probable that the first enrollment year of Augustus was commenced 14 years after his imperial years began the tenure of Tribunitia Potestas. Tribunitia Potestas in BCE 23. 14 years after that, beginning of the particular tenure, which was called the Tribunitia Potestas, which began in BCE 23. 14 years after that would be 9 BCE, or BCE 9. And who's... I'm going to get dry mouth here, or throat. My throat is, again, a little dry. I ate some calcium today in a matcha tea latte, and that was a mistake. It proves I have the poisoning because I didn't feel well after I ate it. That proves, again, that I have the vitamin D poisoning, so I had to try it, but it's not going to continue. No more calcium for a good while now. When you do something and something changes immediately, you know that what you did caused the change. There's no reason to assume differently. It would be wrong to limp upon that opinion. The best thing to do would be to undo what you did and see if that makes it better again first before you decide anything else. That's the most logical thing to do. Whose example this year, BCE 23, for Augustus, is first in a series of Roman emperors to so reckon their regnal years. Okay, they reckoned their regnal years with the idea. Okay, so yeah, it's interesting. So that's essentially the first year of Augustus, the emperor being after this time imbued with power, constituting him, quote, champion of the commons, end quote. Champion of the commons. The organization required for the first enrollment may be proposed, as Mr. Ramsey says, as the reason for the delay of 14 years from the beginning of the tenured years until the decree went forth in BCE 9. That's fascinating. This was the first registration. So we know that actually in BCE 9 beginning in that year, but also going extending until 6 CE when Quirinius was also, in this case, actually the literal governor of Syria, but was acting from Syria as a governor in a military capacity against the Hamadenses, in and around the year 6, or BCE, I should say, BCE 6. So he was there in capacity governing out of Syria in a military capacity at the beginning of this period, or somewhere close to the beginning of BCE 9. But Jesus was born during the time of his governing out of Syria, so he may not have governed out of Syria as early as BCE 9, but it would still be true because Jesus was born in BCE 6. It fits perfectly with the time when Quirinius, as is documented by many scholars, or significantly many scholars, a number of them quite prominently stating that fact of the BCE 6 year being the time of Quirinius being a military leader acting on behalf of Syria. So it's such a perfect alignment now. And then Quirinius is the one who completes the census, which is remarkable, in 6 CE. Isn't that not amazing, powerful, and remarkable? Because Luke states this was the first registration, too. It's remarkable because the first registration ended in 6 CE, so there's no contradiction anymore. This is the final payment of all the taxes was done up to the year 6 CE is what we're understanding. And Luke mentions that particular census because there was a rebellion at that time. So the taxes may have all been paid in that very year, 6 CE, and it triggered a rebellion on the part of certain Jewish patriots, let's say, one of whom was called Judas. Now, that BCE 9 was the first year of enrollment, is seen by the use of a different style of enrollment paper for Egypt in the years BCE 19 to 18, which years are unusual. Such unusualness is in the fact that the 14-year cycle years, which are 23 and 9 in the BCE years, again, this is amazing because this indicates possibly that there was no payment made until the year 9, but they do not those 2 years do not coincide with 19 or 18 BCE, and such a census 10 years before BCE 9 can be reconciled easily, for it precedes the cycle start. In other words, this 19 or 18 BCE doesn't align with this 14-year cycle, which goes between 23 and then 9, and then those are in the BCE years, and then the next one is 6 CE, etc. You know, every difference being 14 years, so the next one's 20 CE, and then 34 CE, you know, 48 CE, you get the point, 62 CE. But anyway, every 14 years, the registration and then the payment takes place during the 14 years. This is the new understanding that I've just gained, and this is the first day that I've announced this particular view of it. And such a census 10 years before the BCE 9 can't be possibly part of this cycle. So, because it precedes the cycle start, therefore, or the cycle particular start. Every year also is a start. So there's a new census starting in BCE 9, but it's also the end of the previous cycle that started 14 years earlier. So the payments are made, and also new enrollment is begun at that same date. That all the payments have to be paid on that date or by that date. And that at the very same time, all the new enrollments begin for the next 14 years. It makes perfect sense now that we see it. By such logic does Mr. Ramsay arrive at the same point that Clement arrived at for a start in the year BCE 9, which is the cycle closest to the birth date of Christ. That fits nicely, because that was several years before the birth of Christ. So Christ would have been registered in that particular registration of those 14 years between BCE 9 and 6 CE. Perfect fit for the birth of Christ. This precedes the cycle start, if this Egyptian census was 19 or 18. So that can't be part of the same cycle. Can't be, it doesn't. Unless, what was a different style of enrollment paper there too? At the beginning of chapter 6, paragraph 5b. But the point is, so it was, I see. Well, it precedes the cycle start in Syria, which included Judea before Judea joined the Roman Empire in 6 CE. It's perfect. But, you know, it can't be part of the same cycle as the BCE 9 years. But, of course, the 19 or 18 BCE seems to be part of a different cycle because it doesn't coincide with either. Well, of course, it's hard to say. Whether all of the people were enrolled in the same year, it's hard to say. But it just appears to be different. So the BCE 19 to 18 particular enrollment in Egypt may have been left over from an earlier cycle that had to be completed. It makes perfectly easy logic and sense. In the Proverbs, for our scriptural verse from Proverbs for today, little children, Proverbs 26 and 11, just like a dog returning to its vomit, the stupid one is repeating his foolishness. We need to get through the... But that's a very true statement when people keep going back to their old way, even when they've been taught the new way, which is superior. We see that happening. Maybe you've seen it happening. Now the reading for today from Deuteronomy 26. We've used up a lot of time. And it must occur that when at last you enter into the land that Jehovah your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you have taken possession of it and dwelt in it, you must also take some of the first fruits of all the fruitage of the soil which you will bring in from the land of yours that Jehovah your God is giving you, and you must put them in a basket and go to the place that Jehovah your God will choose to have his name reside there. And you must come to the priest who will be acting in those days and say to him, I must report today to Jehovah your God that I have come into the land that Jehovah swore to our forefathers to give to us. And the priest must take the basket out of your hand and deposit it before the altar of Jehovah your God. And you must answer and say before Jehovah your God, my father was a perishing Syrian. Who's that? Jacob, who lived in Syria for a time. And he proceeded to go down to Egypt and to reside there as an alien with very few in number. That was Jacob and his family. And there he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. And the Egyptians went treating us badly and afflicting us and putting hard slavery upon us. And we began to cry out to Jehovah, the God of our forefathers, and Jehovah proceeded to hear our voice and to look on our affliction and our trouble and our oppression. Finally, Jehovah brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and with great fearsomeness and with signs and miracles. Then he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now here I have brought the first fruits of the fruitage of the ground that Jehovah has given me. You must also deposit it before Jehovah your God and bow down before Jehovah your God, and you must rejoice over all the good that Jehovah your God has given you and your household, you and the Levite and the alien resident who is in your midst. When you finish with tithing the entire tenth of your produce in the third year, the year of the tenth, you must also give it to the Levite, the alien resident, the fatherless boy, and the widow, and they must eat it within your gates and satisfy themselves. And you must say before Jehovah your God, I have cleared away what is holy from the house, and I have also given it to the Levite and the alien resident, the fatherless boy and the widow, in accord with all your commandment that you have commanded me. I have not overstepped your commandments, nor have I forgotten. I have not eaten of it during my mourning, nor have I removed any of it while unclean, nor have I given any of it for anyone dead. I have listened to the voice of Jehovah my God. I have done in accord with all that you have commanded me. Do look down from your holy dwelling, the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the soil that you have given us, just as you swore to our forefathers, the land flowing with milk and honey. This day Jehovah your God is commanding you to carry out these regulations and judicial decisions, and you must observe and carry them out with all your heart and all your soul. Jehovah you have induced to say today that he will become your God while you walk in his ways and observe his regulations and his commandments and his judicial decisions and listen to his voice. As for Jehovah, he has induced you to say today that you will become his people, a special property, just as he has promised you, and that you will observe all his commandments, and that he will put you high above all the other nations that he has made, resulting in praise and reputation and beauty, while you prove yourself a people holy to Jehovah your God, just as he has promised. That's the end of Deuteronomy 26. Let's get some colder water. I think that would be good. Yeah, it is colder. Okay. Next, Revelation Chapter 11. By the way, Deuteronomy 26 is Moses with all the Israelites standing on the east side of the Jordan, on the plains, on the east bank of the Jordan, opposite Jericho. And Moses talking to the Israelites. Israelites, better keep the water close at hand. And a reed, John says, in his revelation from Jesus, well, John is in a vision up in heaven, and a reed like a rod was given me, as he said, get up and measure the temple sanctuary of God and the altar and those worshipping in it. But as for the courtyard that is outside the temple sanctuary, cast it clear out and do not measure it, because it has been given to the nations, and they will trample the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will cause my two witnesses to prophesy 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth. These are symbolized by the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and are standing before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, the fire issues forth from their mouths and devours their enemies. And if anyone should want to harm them, in this manner, he must be killed. These have the authority to shut up heaven, that no rain should fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every sort of plague as often as they wish. And when they have finished their witnessing, the wild beast that ascends out of the abyss will make war with them and conquer them and kill them. And their corpses will be on the broad way of the great city, which is in a spiritual sense called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was also impaled. And those of the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their corpses for 3.5 days. And they do not let their corpses be laid in a tomb. And those dwelling on the earth rejoice over them and enjoy themselves. And they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those dwelling on the earth. Now, Mr. Benson, in his book, comes to the conclusion that the length of Jesus' ministry was only 2.5 days, not 3.5, which is showing that he perhaps doesn't pay as much attention to the scriptures on the whole as some other people do. But this is not, of course, necessarily talking about the time of Jesus' ministry, but yet it is interesting because Jesus was in the tomb perhaps 3.5 days based on our analysis, as is seen in chapter 12 of the Born and Raised article, for example. And those dwelling on the earth rejoice over them, in verse 10, and enjoy themselves, and they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented all, or just says, of course, not all, because the believers wouldn't be tormented, tormented those dwelling on the earth. And after the 3.5 days, spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those beholding them. And they heard a loud voice out of heaven say to them, come on up here. The other thing is, we don't just base our belief in the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry on our understanding of the reading of the Gospels. That's not the only way we get that. It's from, that's one way, that's one source, that's one component of our information, but we also get it from all the other chronological evidence in the secular chronology, which is very much and so very required in order to establish any chronology, because time is the component of the word secular. It has to do with time. So if you want chronology, you need secular information. You can't get it from the Bible, which you can get only relative information from the Bible. You can't get absolute chronology from the Bible. It's not given that way, and Genesis 1:14 shows that also. So in that, and they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. This is the two witnesses. Verse 13, and in that hour a great earthquake occurred, and a tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 persons were killed by the earthquake, and the rest became frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Look, the third woe is coming quickly. And the seventh angel blew his trumpet in loud voices. So remember, woe, 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 well, we've passed the second woe. So now we've got the seventh trumpet, which is the last of the three woes, starting with the fifth trumpet. And the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and loud voices occurred in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world did become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will rule as king forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated before God on the throne, upon their thrones, that is, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we thank you, Jehovah God, the Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and begun to rule as king. But the nations became wrathful, and your own wrath came, the appointed time for the dead to be judged, and to give their reward to your slaves, the prophets, and to the holy ones, and to those fearing your name, the small and the great, and to bring to ruin those ruining the earth. And the temple sanctuary of God that is in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple sanctuary. And there occurred lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and a great hail. That's the end of Revelation 11. Our time is up, little ones. Yes, it's September 4th, 2023, 2105 hours. I'm Ward Green, and this is, in my behalf, my loved ones, this is Crow, and this is Cassie, my Casio watch, saying bye for now.